house of God. You may be seated tonight. We're so thankful for the blessings of God that God's bestowing on our lives. Amen. What a joy. What a wonderful service we had this morning. How many were in the sanctuary this morning got some of this power? Hallelujah. Woo, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. God did some things here today, and we're so thankful for it. Amen. And we're grateful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me just encourage you. Amen. Tonight, God wants revival in your life.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Praise God. And you're the missionary to lives here in your neighborhood and everybody you meet. You are the missionary for their soul and their salvation.
All right.
Amen. You may not think they're listening or looking, but they are. Amen. There are people that are looking and people that are needing Jesus Christ. If you were a missionary in a foreign country, what would you do differently? Would you want a microphone? Some of them don't use microphones. There's some people, they think preaching is getting up here and using a microphone. The anointing they have is when they get a microphone. God is looking for somebody to bridge the gap. Amen. And reach somebody while we got a chance. Amen. Everybody say, I got one chance. One chance. Many times, one chance and opportunity to reach somebody. And the first 15 seconds, they say, that you meet somebody, you've already impressed them or depressed them.
That's right.
Amen. I want to give them the light of God. I want them to know that there is a Savior aboard this life. And we want to encourage you. The month of August, we got great things are going to be happening. Let me just share with you. We prayed about this. It's Cross White and I. And we talked about it. We turned it from every direction. And the month of August, the 2nd, which is on a Wednesday night, the 3rd on a Thursday night, and the 4th on a Friday night, we're going to have a youth crusade here at our church.
All right.
Our young people, we want you to know, every one of you, we want you to know that there's people that desires to see you live for God, yeah. Not just now, but right around the corner when you're all by yourself.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And I want them to see that it's not just Pastor Crosswhite. It's not just Brother Crosswhite saying this or Sister Crosswhite saying this. I want them to know conviction. I want them to know the Word of God. And I want them to know how to live and stand when everybody else is bowing.
Right.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. We're so thankful for this. So that in August, the Wednesday night, we're so thankful that Brother, get up here. You ever get behind a podium and go blank? I do. Uh-huh. Amen. Anyway, we have Wednesday night speaker that's going to be with us, Brother Wainwright. Got it. Brother Wainwright's going to be our first speaker. Our second speaker is Brother Craig Long. And our third speaker is Brother Putman, the pastor from Gilmer, Texas. They're bringing their choir. They're going to be singing. And I want our people just to get in here and get what God has for them. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Brother Metlin and Burke, their church, they want to be part of this. Brother Martinez is part of, there's other churches that's going to be coming that need the fellowship of God's people.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That need old-fashioned apostolic preaching, and we want to be part of this, and we get to host it, and they're going to help participate. They're going to help sponsor, but we're thankful that we could do this together, and we're going to see what God's going to do in our lives. Yes. Then, and the 1st of September, actually what's going to happen, it's going to be on a Friday and a Saturday night, and of course Sunday, but we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night. But Friday night, Brother Tim King will be with us. Brother Tim and Sister,
Kirsten.
I can't ever pronounce that name. Kirsten, I got to remember how to say it right. Kirsten, Brother Tim and Sister Kirsten King, they've been here before. They're going to be here, and we're going to do a marriage retreat Friday and Saturday. You think, well, I've been married 34 years. But right now is a critical time in your marriage that you hang on to the things of God. Amen. And the more you think you know about marriage, the more you don't know. And we're so excited that the King's going to be with us, and he'll be preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. And that's Labor Day weekend. We're going to do this. It's going to be meal involved in all this. And I just don't want a thrown together meal. Anybody can throw together something sometimes. I want it to be more than chili and nachos. So we're going to do something special for our couples, and there will be a registration. That way we know how to fix, what to do, all these different things. But we want you to be involved in this, and we're so blessed. So our young people and our married couples, we want the blessings of the Lord, and I feel that God is doing something in our hour. Amen. We had a great time, Sister Crosswhite and I, in Roswell, New Mexico. Amen. To watch the Spirit of God minister to their church and to see what God has done for them, just like us. God gave us this facility. God gave them the first Christian church there and their facilities, one city block on South Main Street in Roswell, New Mexico. And I've watched them. I remember when they had church in our front, a storefront, and how God blessed them. All the people that in his church, over probably 85% of the people there, they have won to the Lord in the last 28 years. And we're so thankful that there were brand new babies that we've seen. Amen. And people that were seeking the Holy Ghost, a husband who had just received the Holy Ghost, and his wife and their four children were there. And we preached Sunday morning, and then Monday night or Monday morning, we went to a youth camp or a camp meeting in the mountains of New Mexico. You go through Artesia, you go up towards Cloudcroft, and then 30 miles past that in Sacramento, New Mexico. And there in a camp, we watched the power of the Lord minister on Monday night. The Spirit of God, all these people came together. It started out with a youth camp, and family started coming to where now it's a family camp. And we're so thankful that we had a part of that. We got to be part of that. And the Spirit of God, old-fashioned, it made me say, hey, I don't need a new cart. I need the Ark of the Covenant. I need the glory of God. We don't need all the new stuff to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We just need God in the camp. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, if we got this, if we would just black out all the lights up here, back out there, and we could put some lights to enhance, and we get our girls up here just a swaying around and shaking, and I mean, we could probably do something. No, no one to tell you the way to do it. You just have church. Yeah. Amen. The same way my grandpa did, my grandmother did. Yeah. Amen. The same way they did years ago. Yeah. Oh, Brother Crosswhite, if we had a camera on the drums, that way we could just see Sister Kristen play it, and she could smile at the camera. I looked at a camp meeting today, and the drum player was just smiling at the camera right there in Lufkin. Amen. This weekend, just smiling and grinning because he knew it was on him. He knew his ugly face was on the screen. I want to tell somebody, amen, we don't need that. Hallelujah. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in this hour. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. And we're so excited that we can do something. And I guarantee you, amen, we're not after a crowd, we're after a crop. Amen, we're after brand new people that are hungry and thirsty after God. And young people, if you would just follow your pastor, just give me some time in your life, amen, and follow the shepherd as he follows Christ, amen, you will not regret it in 10 years, amen, that you've lived for God and you kept on the right rail and the right road. By the way, let me just say this today. Amen. There are some people pretend they're on the right direction.
All right.
Come on, Pastor.
But their life is not going the right direction.
Right.
And we went to Stephenville one time, and they had a truck. And that truck, they had taken a cab of the truck, and they had spliced it. And they had taken a front of a truck and a front of a truck, and they put it together and connected it. And they had painted it. And when you're driving down the road, you don't know if the truck is coming or going. It was scary. I'm thankful it was parked by the side of the road when I seen it. But Brother Murray, it had two fronts. This pickup truck, I mean, it was weird. There are some people that have a front. Brother Schubert talked about it today, hypocrites. Amen. But when you live for God, you're going, when you drive down the road, how many of you ever got off the road just a little bit and you got on the shoulder of the road? How many's ever ran off the road just a little bit? How many's ever heard those things when you run off the road today? They call it by driving by braille, go, you know what I'm talking? How many's ever heard those before? Even how many's ran off just a little? Well, I'm going to tell you, many times in life we learn to correct ourselves back on the road. Amen. There's things you pull back. And you know what? I thank you today for the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. That we could learn and we could grow and we could correct and we could go the right way with Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord tonight? Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love my church family, and I want to lead you to heaven. And we're so thankful that this morning we got a taste of heaven in this place. Amen. Brother Schubert obeyed the Holy Ghost, and we're so thankful for that. Amen. I want you to stand with us tonight. Amen. And this morning, Brother Zach, I didn't know. I walked over there, and I thought I should help him up those steps. But then I got to realizing, no. The last time Brother Schubert preached for us, he ran up, somebody counted, 21 times up and down these steps. It could have been Sister Schubert keeping record. I don't know. Amen. But I think she threatened him. But this morning, he couldn't stand it any longer. Amen. I don't know his age. I think he's 86. 86. 86-year-old man ran the aisle this morning. Amen. That ought to tell you something. The love of God. He didn't do it to be seen. He did it to give God the praise and the glory.
Absolutely.
Amen. Brother Schubert, we love you. The church loves you. And definitely, amen, my family loves you, and I thank God for you. Amen. I want him to come and obey the Holy Ghost tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, my goodness. Isn't God great? Has he been good to anybody besides me? Oh, my. I was listening to the talk, Brother Colton, and I told Sister Schubert, I said, he's getting on my message. And I love it. And didn't that song bless us this morning that she sang? My, just hold on, folks. Just hold on. My old pastor, and I say this with utmost respect because he's been gone for a number of years. He used to say, when you get to the end of the rope, just tie a knot and hold on. So let me encourage you. And another word, phrase he used to use, he said, you got to get a backbone like a saw log. And then you got to get a bite like a bulldog. And he used some phrases. I told them at lunch, he was backslid for some time. And he said, I would pray when I'd go to bed at night. He said, I would pray, God, please don't let me die tonight. Because he said, I knew I'd be in hell before my toes got cold. So that's the way it was. And people, you know, I told Brother Crosswhite today, a lot of religions are good enough to live by, but they're not good enough to die by. I've had people, I'd have a particular individual that has a son-in-law for a pastor, but they call me when they get sick. I kid you not. And she told me, she laughed. She said, Brother Schubert, I called you every time I get puny. I said, well, it's quite an honor. And it's amazing. I want to go into the word of the Lord tonight. And thank you for standing. Thank you for honoring me by asking me to bring the word of the Lord to you. I am so honored to be a part of you. And I told Brother Cross, I'm not a visitor here anymore. You folks have been so nice. You're just kin folks. Brother Kenner used to say this, I'll call you brother. If I don't get you in the spirit, I'll get you back at Adam. So you're still my brother and my sister somewhere down the line. And if you don't want to claim that, that's all right. Brother Jordan Grindle, I told him, the other day, I said, I'm going to use a phrase that you used the first time I ever heard it on me. He said, I love you and ain't a thing you can do about it. So I love you and ain't nothing you can do about it. One man said, I love you and if you don't love me, that's your problem. So I really love you folks and thank you so much. You have been so kind to me. I feel that I've heard from the Lord. I was up early this morning and I was awake at 4:30 and got up about 5 and went to my office talking to the Lord. The Holy Ghost just fell, and I feel that I have heard from the Lord. But God began to deal with me about this a few days ago, not too long ago. And I wrote some notes, and I'm going to preach to you if the Lord will help me. Just, I have prayed absolutely countless times, God, don't ever let me go to that pulpit without you. And I mean that. I absolutely mean that. If I can say one more thing about a marriage, that you're going to have a marriage seminar. Those are good, folks. I gave a marriage seminar about 20 years ago, 22 maybe, and there was a young lady that I have known since she was a little girl, and I invited. It was free. Refreshments were free. All the material was free. It didn't cost nothing other than you had to show up. I invited her to that marriage seminar, and she was very curt. And she said, I don't need a marriage seminar. I've been married 15 years. I think I got a pretty good marriage. We did the marriage seminar, and about a week or so after that, she found out that her husband had been running around on her for quite a long time. They divorced. Let me tell you, your marriage does not ever get so good that it can't stand a little help. And you never get so close to God that you don't need church. And that you don't need a shepherd. God chose by the foolishness of preaching. And the word says, I have set pastors over you. So we need a pastor. You say, preacher, you got one. I got several. This is one of them right here. So Brother Green's one of them. Brother Sanders is another one. So I've got several people watches me. I'm going to the book of Job, chapter number 2. And I have preached a lot from the book of Job, but there's just so much in it. There is some things, and I am probably going a totally different direction from this book and the scripture that I'm going to read to you tonight because, well, you'll see in a minute. Let me read Job chapter 2, verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. I'm jumping over to the book of Luke, chapter number 4 and verses 5 through 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If there therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 44 and 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And I want to read one more scripture in your hearing. It was quoted or read a while ago by Brother Colton, I believe. 34 and verse 19. He read verse 1. I want to read verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them. Oh, Lord, I love you from the depths of my soul. With everything that I have, Lord, I love you, and I'm so grateful to allow me to be a part of your people, your church, your family. What's more tonight, God, would you speak through these vocal cords to the children of the Most High God, and bless every life, God, that hears my voice. Illuminate every mind to receive the word, God, the way it needs to be received, and bless each one according to your love, your mercy, your kindness, and your goodness. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. God bless the of his word, and you may be seated. For the next little while, I would like to speak to you from this thought tonight concerning the word and the message. My subject tonight is this: foolish talk. That word means without good sense, or unwise, or silly. I want to mention to you about, I told you I was going a different direction about Job, and talk about his wife for a minute. We criticize her a lot of times, and she was wrong. But may I say in her defense, please understand, they had lost every solitary thing that they had, including her children. It's one thing to lose material, but when a mother loses her child, it is an emotional breakdown. And in her defense, I want to suggest that you just consider for a moment Job's wife in her anger, in her heartbreak, and in her turmoil. She felt this way. Why don't you just give it up? There's been times probably that every one of us has heard a saying along this line. Why don't you just give it up? Why don't you throw in the towel? May I say to somebody tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that's foolish talk. There is no place, there is no time, it is no occasion to quit serving God. When you give up God, you give up the only one that can get you out of this world. That is foolish talk, to talk about quitting. You know, when I was young, I used to look at preachers and I would think, man, and a lot of people see preachers this way. They've most of the time got a suit on. They're most of the time building us up, you know, cheerleading is as it were, and saying, come on, folks. And I thought, man, they don't have any kind of problems. You know what? Did my bubble ever get busted? And I found out preachers don't only have regular problems, they've got your problems also. Because when we shepherd, every problem that one of our saints has, it becomes our problem, Pastor. But let me tell you, and sometimes the devil would say, why don't you just quit? Why don't you give it up? Why don't you throw in the towel? Oh, can I tell you, that's foolish talk. Because you see, God has brought us through every valley that we've been in. God has brought us through the storm. And the God that we serve, it's not going to let you down now. God's going to get you through. And the devil is a foolish man, because that is foolish talk to talk about giving God. It is amazing. You say, what would you have done? You don't know until you face it. You know, we can say, well, if it had been me, you don't know until there was one of our preachers years ago got out of Bible college and went over across the river to Louisiana. And he came back a few months later like a whipped dog. And he said, man, I thought all you had to do is eat fried chicken, wear $500 suits, and preach on Sunday. Boy, you talk about a pipe dream. Let me tell you, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, I'm going down these steps again, but in the wee hours of the morning, we're laying awake and we're talking to God, and we're worried about sister so-and-so, or we're worried about brother so-and-so, and the devil comes around. And he says, why don't you just resign? Why don't you quit? That's foolish, devil. You talk to me. You're talking to the wrong man, because I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm in it to make heaven. But I'm not only in it for myself. I'm in it for you and for you and for you. And if I got to lay awake in the wee hours of the morning, so be it. Don't even talk foolishness to this man. Oh my. Oh, we hear that. Devil comes around and he'll never attack you when you're on the mountaintop. He comes when you're in the valley. He comes when you're sick. When you're in. Anybody besides me ever been broke financially? You know, you're so broke you can't pay attention. And the devil says, if God loved you. What do you mean if God loved me? There's no question. God does love me. Well, you're broke. I know that. But he didn't even have a place to lay his head. I've got a bed. I got food on the table. I got clothes to wear. And devil, you come around talking about quitting. That's foolish talk. Let me tell you, there's going to be bad and there's going to be good. That's going to happen. Sister Hubert, turn your head. You know what? If you never had a bad day, how would you know if you had a good one? If you never did hurt in your body, how would you know to say, man, that feels good when it quits hurting? If you never were hungry, how would you know how good food was? When I was in Korea, wasn't long after the war was over, and I heard a Korean preacher came to us that day. We had a religious retreat. And people say, I wouldn't eat that. Brethren, he said, we ate grass because that's all there was. And I've seen people throw out good food and turn up their nose. I don't like that. I tell people, I told somebody a while ago, God spoils me, but I'm not going to tell him to quit. But I do know what it's like. When I was a boy, we had one time, one season in my life, we had water, gravy, and cornbread. Gravy and cornbread don't go together. But when that's all you got on the table, ladies and gentlemen, you say, if God loves you, what do you mean if God loves me? God loves me if I got water, gravy, and cornbread. But he loves me if I've got steak and hot rolls. It ain't if God loves me. You're talking foolish. I can't serve God when everything's going good and quit it when it's bad. It's God all the time. I will pray. praise him continually. His praise shall be ever on my lips. Anybody can praise God. We're in a red hot revival. But sometimes, pastor just needs somebody. Grab his other hand, brother. Sometimes he's like Moses, and he needs somebody to hold those hands up because he gets weary. He gets tired. But don't talk, devil, about quitting. I've got somebody to help me. I got somebody on my side. The sun's going to shine again. The clouds are going to dissipate. And the rain's going to fall. I'm telling you, it may be bad today, but it's going to be good again tomorrow. I may be in the valley today, but I'll be on the mountain tomorrow. Don't talk foolishness to me, devil, because God is a God in the good times, but he's also God in the bad times. I don't know. We had a preacher one time. I did not know this man, but I know the situation. His son was killed in Vietnam. And in the church, he knelt at the altar, and he was so angry, he slung his Bible against the wall and said, "God, if that's the way it is, you can have it." Let me tell you something, folks. We're not promised. He said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Can I say this? God delivers us out of every solitary one of them. There is nothing that's going to overtake you that God cannot get you through it. Don't even let the devil talk to you about leaving the church or quitting the church. This is where safety is. This is where help is. This is where the word is. And it's foolish to think anything about ever leaving the church. Amen. Foolish talk. One of our young preachers told one of our elders one time, said, "We're losing the battle. We might as well throw in the towel. Not on your life." It ain't many of us left. What do you mean? One time a young lady came to our church and sent her. Holy Ghost fell. She ran out the door. She'd scared her. And when they caught her, she was on the back side of the parking lot. And we had a pretty big parking lot there. And she said, "I had no idea there were so many of y'all." And her mother-in-law told her, said, "Honey, you ought to go to General Conference when there's about 30,000. I'll go you one better." John said, "I saw a number that no man could number. They were as the sand of the sea." Can I tell somebody, you're not in this alone. You're not by yourself. You're not the only one that the devil's talking to. But that's foolish talk. My God, we cannot quit. We cannot give up. We cannot turn around. We cannot lower our standards. We got to hold on to that old-fashioned gospel. Come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. We need to look different. We need to act different. Oh, yeah. We could get one of them famous singers, and we could pull a crowd. Do you know what I like? I like being able to look at somebody and say, "You know what, there's a Pentecostal." One thing I can tell you about Sister Crosswhite, she lived for God when she was a kid because I was her preacher. I don't know how. I think you were probably about 8 years old, maybe 10. She would walk by our house going to school with her hair in a braid. 8 hours or whatever they have of school, She'd walk, look just like she did when she went to school. She didn't get dirty. She didn't mess her hair up. And here she is tonight. She don't have her hair in a braid, but she's still living for God. I remember the first conference we ever went to in Houston. And we'd see people walking, Pentecostal people walking into the service. And one of us would say, there's one of them. I mean, there's one of us. You know, I've had people walk up to me in a place where I have never been before, never seen those people before in my life, to my knowledge. And I've had them look at me and say, you're a preacher. What makes you think I'm a preacher? You are a preacher. You know what I say? You better behave yourself. It doesn't bother me. I'm honored when people think and I've had people say, would you pray for me in places of public? You know what I do? I'll take them by the hand and I'll say, let's pray right now. I don't make a big show aloud praying. Don't be ashamed to pray in public. Nothing wrong with it. Devil comes around and said, everybody's going to be watching you. Yeah, and you might be surprised who else comes around and says, pray for me too. You say, I ain't a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to pray for people. Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And if you're a Holy Ghost filled child of God, you are a believer. You can't always get a hold of the pastor. You know, we use this phrase sometimes, pastor gets first and second choice. First choice, get somebody else to do it. Second choice, if nobody else does it, you get to do it. That's any job. But don't be afraid. You say, well, Job's wife, she was wrong. Yes, she was. But don't be too critical. You haven't walked in that woman's shoes yet. Everything they had was gone. You know, I've driven up to homes where there used to be a house standing and there'd be nothing left but ashes. I don't know how those people feel. I've never experienced that. I've never laid a child in the grave, and I've never put a child, and I've never put my spouse in the grave. I don't know what I would do, but let me tell you something. Devil, one thing, by the grace of God, don't talk to me about giving God up, because God is the one that's going to get me through that. God is the one that's going to give me strength. God is the one that's going to let me see her on the other side. That's foolish talk to talk about leaving the church and giving God up.
Hallelujah.
I know you're not shouting tonight, but I'm telling you something. This will get you to heaven. I told somebody, I knew this preacher named Joe Warner. I didn't know him real well before he got in the church. But his wife got in the church. Oh, he was so mad. He didn't want her in the church. She was down beside the bed one night praying. And he walked in, drew his leg back to kick her. And he couldn't move his leg forward. It locked behind him. He got in church. And he made a man of God. He made a preacher. Let me tell you something. If she had given up, they might have both died lost. But let me tell you, because she hung on to God, she stayed with it. When the chips were down, she didn't give up. She said, you know what? I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm in this thing to be saved. I'm in it to go to heaven. Don't talk foolishness to me. That's foolish talk to talk about quitting.
Amen.
64 years of our life has been living for God, trying to, and in the ministry. Now, wouldn't I be stupid? You know, there's dumb and then there's stupid. Wouldn't I be stupid to get out of the church at my age? What would I do besides die lost? Besides that, you know what? If the devil's got you believing that living for God is a dull, drab, boring life, you need to listen to somebody else like me. It is not a dull, drab, boring life. It is a brilliant, bright, exciting life. Living for God is the best life. I told you what my old preacher used to say, God, please don't let me die tonight. I've prayed that prayer myself. Please don't let me die, Lord. Sister, I'm not sure I would go this far. Sister Beulah Walker used to say, I'd rather sleep with a mangy dog than a guilty conscience. I'm not real sure that I go quite that far. I have slept with a guilty conscience, but I've never slept with a mangy dog. And I don't plan to. But another thing I don't plan on doing is quitting either. I cannot do it by myself, but by the grace of God. I'm not where I am tonight because of who I am. I'm where I am because of the grace of God. And if God has brought you this far, God will get you the rest of the way. The devil showed him everything. Let me tell you something. I worked at Dow, subsidiary of Dow, for 13 and a half years. There was a man named Mike Pepper that worked there. Mike had a band, and Mike was trying to be on the up and rising as a country western singer. And Mike and I were good friends, pretty good friends. And Mike knew I played the guitar. I played with him one night just in a jam session. So Mike's lead guitar player quit. He left. Mike came to me, Brother Crosswhite, and said, Marlo, I want you to be my lead guitar player in my band. For 3 days, I was tempted. And I thought, this is crazy. You know you can't do that. Let me tell you, you can't play guitar or anything else and play in beer joints and nightclubs and live for God. But what I'm trying to tell you is the devil will offer you, he offered the Lord. Let me tell you, the devil ain't got nothing to offer you except trouble. But God's got joy, peace, happiness, and an everlasting life. Hallelujah to God. It's foolish to even entertain the thoughts of giving up. But I thought that third day, I thought, this is crazy. You know, I talk to myself. Sometimes that's a way to get a sensible answer. And you can talk to yourself uglier than you'd let anybody else talk to you too. I said, you know you can't do that. So I told him, I said, Mike, I can't do it. And the thing about it, we went home on long change. That's from Friday to Wednesday night midnight. And when we came back on midnight, our paper was waiting, and Mike Pepper had died of asphyxiation on his own vomit. He had got sick, vomited, and choked to death there on his own vomit. Let me tell you, the devil will come around. I had a girl in my church years ago. I mean, a faithful girl. And she married a man. And they're in the church today. I mean, they're in the church. But she told me this after she married him. She would go to places she knew she shouldn't go. And she would pray that nobody would see him when they went there, because she was afraid he would break up with her if she didn't go with him. Let me tell you, if he breaks up with you, you don't need him anyway. We'd been married a year. when we got in church. We went to church one Sunday night. I had absolutely no intention of going to the altar. My wife didn't know nothing about Pentecost. I was a backslider. And we went to church and the Holy Ghost fell. Let me tell you, it's not an accident you're here tonight. You might have thought like I did, I'll just go down there and visit my kin folks. Well, I had a lot of kin folks in the church. You're here because the love of God brought you. And my cousin, Estelle, very shy woman, quiet. She was at the ladies' altar. And she got up, and when Estelle screamed, she screamed. And I mean, she screamed and came back to the seat where we were sitting, back about midways. And my wife didn't know nothing about it. I was sitting by my brother. My wife elbowed me and said, if you want to go, go ahead. And I thought, man, you let me down. Why didn't you say, don't go? But that's all I needed. That's been over 64 years. It was 64 years ago in January. And by the grace of God, I'm still here. I have no intention of quitting. Oh, let me tell you, that's foolish talk. I don't have time to entertain a conversation about quitting the church. This is my life. This is my hope. This is my joy. This is my salvation. This is where it's at. Foolish talk. You know, sometimes we've said things along this line. People ought to keep their mouth shut and let people think they're stupid rather than open it and remove any doubt. You're not talking to me about quitting the church. Don't even talk bad about the church to me. When you talk bad about the church, that's me. This building is not the church. We're the church. You know, my mom and my daddy in the spirit, they've gone on now. But man, I love them. Mamie Taylor was like a mother to me. And I'm so old now that I'm like a pawpaw to a lot of kids, and I love it. When I was in my 50s, we had a family move to Tyler. We was in Tyler then. And they had a little boy. And I can't remember his name now. But for some reason, I just became Pawpaw Schubert. And his mother was afraid, so afraid for me to hear that, because she was afraid I'd be offended calling me Pawpaw in the 50s. Folks, I'm honored. I've got a lot of grandkids, and I love every one of them. They're not biological, but let me tell you, I've got a lot of kids in the spirit. In fact, let me tell you something. I've got some that's pastor, and I got one that's a missionary. I've got others. This one right here married one of them. Let me tell you something. I'm honored. So you say, preacher, why don't you just throw it on and give it up and throw in the towel? No. That's foolish talk. I've got everything. This is my world. But the devil offered the Lord, said, I'll give it all to you if you'll just worship me. And the devil may offer you the bright lights and a good time, but let me tell you, he don't have anything really to offer. God's got it all. Nothing belongs to the devil. It all belongs to God. And God is going to let you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Stand with me right now, if you will, and let's lift our hands and let's worship our God. Foolish talk. Oh, Lord. I am so honored that God allows me to be part of his family. You know, you want to know what's real honor? For you people to call me Brother Schubert. I'm honored. Thank you for being my friend. You know what? You go to I've got a young lady that's a friend, known her since she was born, I guess. She was partially raised in the church. Brother and Sister Crosswhite would know who I'm talking about if I were to call her name. But sometimes people go to the wrong place to hunt a spouse. If you want a good husband or a good wife, go to church. When you go to a beer joint, and you say that ain't what they are, well, it's what I've always heard a lot of them called. What else would you call them? Or a nightclub. And you go home. When I was overseas in Korea, we got a pass one day, went down from our outfit to Seoul, and this guy named Murray, he got drunk. I mentioned to somebody I drank so many Shasta Colas while I was in Korea, I probably looked like Shasta Cola. But they could drink beer. Murray got drunk. And it was in the U.S., so I mean, it's perfectly legitimate. I did a lot of preaching while I was in Korea, folks. But we was in the USO Club, which was a place where you could go. We spent the night there. And we had to get Murray and get him to the place where we could legally spend the night. But he was dancing with some, well, I'll use it, that I heard this term. I won't say she was ugly, but she was just barely pretty. And he said, I don't want to go with y'all. I want to go home with this beautiful thing. And we said, yeah, right, Murray. You're going with us. And we got a cab. And we got her in it and told the cab driver, get out of here. And he did. And we got Murray to the place where we could get him sober. What are you saying? I'm saying, have you ever dealt with somebody like that when they sober up the next day? I have. I've dealt with my dad when he drank and he would get drunk. Let me tell you, I've never been drunk and I'm thankful for it. I don't feel like I missed a thing. Let's go get drunk. You're talking foolish. I don't want to get drunk except on the Spirit of the Lord. I've seen what alcohol and drugs does. I don't want that mess. But I've seen what God does to a messed up life. And I like what God does a whole lot better than what Satan does. Let's come around the front and let's thank God. God may have brought you out or God may have kept you out. But let me tell you, it's foolish talk to ever listen to anything about leaving God and the church.
Oh.
And thank the Lord for his truth. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace and your mercy, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Thankful for the goodness of the Lord tonight. Amen. The very first thing that the devil always says, you're deprived. And it's the same voice that always is that voice in your ears or in your life that would tell you, why do all that? You're deprived. You don't have to do all that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Satan said to Eve. And the essence of what he began to propose to her, you don't have to do all that. But I'd rather be one day under the coverage of God. Amen. Than to be a thousand elsewhere. You can't undo some things. There are some things you'll never undo.
Right, Pastor.
I've had rebellious people in the church tell other people in the church, you don't have to do all that. Amen. I have people tell young people, amen, oh, you, yeah, that's just uncalled for.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight in the Holy Ghost, I'd rather be way on the safe side than to be one inch on the error side. Because one inch across the line is still one inch across the line. I want to be on that safe side with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. How about you? I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed, not cursed. Amen. Praise God. It feels good to feel Jesus tonight. Brother Schubert, thank you for obeying the Holy Ghost today. And amen. We've had a wonderful Sunday. The Lord has ministered and talked to our hearts. Amen. I want everyone to be encouraged in this place.
Right.
Amen. Don't crawl out of here. Amen. I hope you get to walk out straight and tall and say, better. Amen. One day in his courts and a thousand elsewhere. Oh, but you look what, look what you could be doing out there. Look what you could be looking like. Oh, look how much deprived you are by being a... Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you, there's some churches that will say that this church is depriving our people because we're trying to live right for God. But I want to tell somebody today, amen, I'd rather go by the book. I'd rather go by the plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It feels good to feel God. Amen. I love our church family. Amen. And this pulpit belongs to God, and I thank God for it. You belong to God, people. And I thank God for you. Amen. Praise God. I want to say again, amen, God bless everybody for being in the house of the Lord. You see somebody not here, pick up your phone, call them, give them a text, give them a call, give them a visit. Amen. We have a lot of people that are out that should be in church. That should be here. Amen. And I want you to help me reach them and encourage them. Amen. The last thing they need, somebody just to call them, Oh, you're going to hell. No, no, no. You need to reach them. If there's ever an hour, well, the church needs to be the churches right now. Amen. And I want to say again, what a joy, Brother Williams. Brother Williams got a job in the church now. Amen. He's our track man back over here. Amen. He's our track layer. He's laying tracks for us. Amen. This beautiful track rack that we have in the back of our church. Brother Williams, where are you at? I want you to come tell us about all the different components of this. Amen. Larry Williams built this, and there's a lot that you don't even realize that's back there. Amen. If you could remember some of the wood and all that, just... No, you tell some of it.
White part where it's engraved in brass. Beginning was the word. Holly.
Birds, one of the...
Everything back there is significant. It's like a scroll. You can see that. It looks like a church building. But I want you to know, amen, that is a masterpiece that is back there. Amen. A masterpiece. But every little detail is significant. And that boy put a long time and hard work in that. And praise God. We're so thankful for it, brother. Thank you for that vision. Amen. I'm telling you, the vision of this great man. Let's give Brother Williams a hand of thanks. Sister Williams, too. Praise God. Well, we're so thankful. Remember our announcements. Young people, Tuesday night after prayer, there's a youth Bible study that we're going to begin and start. We want you, amen, we're going to try to answer some questions to help you in your walk with God and strengthen you. Amen. God wants strong people to live for him and be for him. God bless you. Amen. Let's go to heaven. How?
Together.
You're dismissed.